I love all the images that have been a part of today's service. The images for God. Christ is a solid rock on which we stand. That's an image, a powerful image. We just heard a beautiful song where we're under God's wings. So God is a bird. What kind of bird do you picture? Picture an eagle, a dove, a hen. Scripture pictures God as a mother hen. We've seen from Psalm 119 that God is the lamp that lights our path in the darkness. So many images of God in this service. So those of you who like to draw and illustrate in your journal during our worship services, you have a lot to work with today. A lot of images to draw from. And all of us who live in these days have images to draw from this week. I think that's one reason that I really love this Scripture passage from the gospel this morning. It gives us another image. We'll talk about that image this morning. There's two reasons, really, why this passage seems just so right. One is that I have a story to tell on myself, which I'll tell in a little bit. But the other is the image of God here, who is a sower, who's sowing seed. So yet another image to draw on of God when we need it. So Jesus' parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil may be a perfect kind of story for such a time as this. A time when we need encouragement to grow in our faith, to maintain spiritual vitality and the love of God. When everything is dispersed and everything within us is being dispersed. The parable that Jesus tells is of God's lavish generosity spilled out on whomever is open to receiving it. Let's remember that. That's important. God's lavish generosity, God's grace, is an ever-flowing fountain of goodness. There's another image. Poured out on all who will receive, or as Jesus tells it, as a farmer whose seeds are scattered to the wind, seeds looking for good soil to send down deep, strong, resilient roots. And there's an image for us. An image of us as soil, rooted, as root, seed rooted in that soil. Jesus asks us to picture a farmer sowing seed by scattering it around, a prodigal sower flinging seed to the air to fall wherever it will land. This story follows four seeds flung into the wind, each of which lands on a different kind of soil. The seed is good. It is gospel seed. The state of the soil determines what happens to the seed once it lands. In the story, the first three seeds all meet unfortunate ends. One seed falls on hard, packed earth. It cannot penetrate the armor of the crust. It is rejected. Its life-giving power is inert, and it just lays there until a bird comes along to snatch it up. A second seed falls on ground that has more rocks than soil. In the thin soil, the seed springs to life, but with no root penetrating deep into the soil, when the heat cranks up, the little plant withers and dies. A third seed falls among a patch of thorns. It begins to grow, but so do the thorn bushes, the weeds, which choke it out before it can become strong, and it too dies. The fourth seed falls on good soil, loose, deep, life-giving, in which the seed is free to grow deep and grow tall, and there the seed flourishes. Now, if you imagine the seed as corn, then Jesus' final word of the parable is a very clever pun. Let he who has ears, let him hear. Here's how I'm reading this parable. Here's how it's speaking to me. We're soil of some kind or another, and we're living in a time right now when the sun is baking, the heat is soaring, the winds are blowing. The atmospheric pressure of these days can turn our inner soil hard and acidic. And it's also a time when, in the absence of the normal rhythms of our spiritual formation, much that we depend upon, we can either become thin like the soil on rocky ground, or we can become distracted and find our lives overrun with thorn bushes of worry, temptation, or selfishness. In other words, this is a time when threats to rich soil are legion. If you're feeling anything like this, like you've only got left a thin layer of sanity on rocks of despair, if you've got a little patch of hope left amidst the thorns of fear closing in, if you feel like your spiritual life is just hardening, then this parable may be for you. You have ears to hear. In his book, New Seeds of Contemplation, Thomas Merton draws directly on this parable. These are the new seeds of contemplation of which he speaks. What Merton recognized is that every moment and every day is teeming with the possibilities of life, a whole life of gift and growth, but most people miss it most of the time. Everything at every moment of every part of our lives, even these days in which we're living, can be pictured as a seed infused with life-giving, life-producing spiritual vitality. The sort of soil that we are, hard, rock-filled, thorn-infested, or good soil, receives the seeds that are always being sown around us and within us. And so Merton writes, every moment and every event of every person's life on earth plants something in his or her soul. For just as the wind carries thousands of winged seeds, so each moment brings with it germs of spiritual vitality that come to rest imperceptibly in the minds and wills of men and women. Most of the time, these unnumbered seeds perish and are lost. For such seeds as these cannot spring up anywhere except in the good soil of freedom, spontaneity, and love. Whereas farmers measure soil quality by NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, Merton measures the good soil of a person's spirit by FSL, freedom, spontaneity, and love. And just as in farming, there are natural and unnatural ways to cultivate good soil. For farmers, synthetic chemical fertilizers produce quick results, but ultimately destroy the very soil that they improve for a short time. People work in just the same way. And Merton names the toxins of our inner soil as fear, anxiety, and selfishness. These toxins fuel us for a short period of time, but they poison the seeds that God is sowing in our lives and inhibit our growth. So Merton says, unnatural, frantic, anxious work, work done under pressure of greed or fear or any other inordinate passion, cannot properly speaking be dedicated to God, because God never wills such work directly. And yet that's exactly what we find ourselves doing, isn't it? Frantic, anxious work. Frantic, anxious parenting. Frantic, anxious consumption. Frantic, anxious eating. Frantic, anxious worry about what we've been eating. Frantic, anxious immersion in social media. None of these toxins over time cultivate FSL, freedom, spontaneity, and love. And none produce good, rich soil. But we are not without hope. Gabe Brown's book, From Dirt to Soil, is the story of his farm's transition from industrial agricultural techniques to natural processes. His plot of land has been restored from a dead, wind-blown, thin layer of dirt to a blooming, flowering, life-giving farm. He writes wisdom about the land, and it could be a modern spiritual parable too. This is what he says. No matter what you do to the soil, no matter what you do to the soil, there will be some bit of life in it. Even in the most chemically dependent or heavily tilled operations, if you give that life a chance to grow, it will respond. It's true for the dirt of the earth. It's true for the soil of our hearts. If you give it a chance, it will respond. Cultivating FSL. Freedom is cultivated by Sabbath keeping. Setting aside our plans for a day or even time each day to open ourselves to receiving the day with gratitude as it unfolds without frantic, anxious need to control it. We gain freedom from our own bondage to time when we remember that all time is God's time, and in it all we are being redeemed. Sabbath keeping cultivates freedom. Spontaneity is cultivated by silent contemplative prayer, in which we set aside our agenda and simply open ourselves to God's presence. We relax our grip of control and learn to trust and follow the Lord again. Contemplative prayer cultivates spontaneity. The inner soil of love is cultivated by setting aside our egos and engaging in acts of loving kindness toward others. Being merciful to others dislodges ourselves from ourselves, so we learn that no one lives only unto themselves, but we all live in a web of creation in which we are bound to all of our brothers and sisters, to one another in God's love. To be made in the image of God is to be made in the Trinitarian image of eternal love flowing in and through and all around us. FSL makes healthy soil. We set aside our plans, our agendas, our egos, and we embrace Sabbath and contemplative prayer and mercy, and we find as we do that the soil is aerated with the Holy Spirit. We grow in freedom, spontaneity, and love. If you give the gospel a chance to grow in you, it will. No matter what you've done to your inner soil until now. When we give the life of the Spirit in us a chance to grow, it will grow, deepening roots in your inner soil. The cross of Christ will be planted deep in your heart. I learned recently again the strength and significance of deep roots, both in the soil of the earth and as a spiritual metaphor. I was trying to dig out a stump left in a patch of dry ground that I'm going to clean up and plant at my house. And so I dug around the stump, and it wouldn't move. I beat it with a pickaxe, and it wouldn't budge. I did everything I could do to remove this stump, but it was rooted so firmly and so deep I could not move it. And it wasn't very big on top. It was not a big tree. This was a small stump, but it was rooted. And then I remembered, I have a chain and I have a truck. I've seen commercials. This is literally why you have a truck and a chain. And so I backed up the truck and I wrapped the thick chain around the stump. But I didn't have the right attachment on the hitch to fix this particular chain. But I didn't want to just give up. And I also wasn't patient. Merton might have described what happened as frantic, anxious work. So instead of waiting until I had the right way to attach it to the hitch of my truck, I looked for a quick solution. And I found one. On the side wall of the bed of my truck is one of those small little hooks used for bungee cords and straps and rope that you tie to keep things in the bed from moving around. I thought, truck, chain, hook, what can go wrong? Well, I'll tell you what can go wrong. And it's a vivid reminder of the reliance and importance of deep spiritual roots. As I slowly inched the 5,000-pound truck forward, that little root was on its way to bending the frame of my truck bed. And it still wouldn't budge. Now here's what that teaches us. Besides, don't do that with your truck. Besides, don't be dumb, and don't be frantic and anxious. Besides all of those things, which are all true, it teaches us about roots. Roots, spiritual roots planted deep in good soil will hold you in your faith when everything else is trying to tear you apart. The seeds that God is scattering, when they fall in our lives, grow into these kinds of roots. May your inner soil grow richer this day. May you discover the seeds of grace still falling all around. And today, may one of those seeds find the place in your life where it can grow deep roots and tall branches and produce fruit for yourself in abundance for all those with whom you share this life. Amen.